they would be a real good one to talk to as well. I did both. I went back to the sisters that trained me, the Sisters of St. Joseph, and talked to them. I also went and visited several convents. I also talked to priests, not just one, but I talked to three different priests. And they in turn ended up recommending me for religious life. But the biggest thing I would sincerely recommend you do is go spend time with God. And that's what I did every evening before I went to bed. I would spend time with God. And I think that's the most important thing anybody can do if they're discerning a vocation. Whether it's marriage, whether it's single life, whether it's religious life, is spend time with God and say, God, what do you really want me to do? How can I be in this world and serve you and be the best that I can be?
That's beautiful. And you know, sister, we know people around our parish that we see some of the younger folks, we think in our minds, that young man would make a good priest or brother, or that young lady would make a great sister. And sometimes we just need to encourage them and ask them, hey, have you ever thought about a vocation, a religious vocation? And I think prodding people along in that direction and telling them you see something in their eyes or something like that is a great way also to help promote vocations.
I agree, definitely agree with you, Dave, because that person, just as a person needs encouragement to be a sailor or a hospital personnel, a nurse, they need encouragement for this. Not badgering, of course, but just that little planting of seed. I see something in you that would make you a great priest. That is worth gold.
My son Michael, when he was in grade school and into high school, attended St. Pat's with me and was a pretty pious little kid. And two of the sisters, one of them was from here at St. Mary's, always told him, we're praying for you, Michael, to become a priest. He goes, Dad, I don't know what to do. Why do they keep saying that? I said, well, they see something in you. Now he's turned out to be a great father and a husband. He did not become a priest, but it has stuck in his mind that those two sisters used to always see something in him, and he is a very devout young man. He's a reader and an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. But, you know, that kind of encouragement can mean a lot.
It really can, and I think it's very important, especially in the formative years when a child is growing up and testing their faith, too, faith.
You know, if you're thinking about becoming your vocation and giving service, there are many different orders out there. Now, you are the Order of St. Francis. What would you say that vocation differences or highlights? How's the Order of St. Francis different from some of the other orders? Because that's something they have to choose if they are going to go into a vocational life. There are many different options, I guess I should say, focuses.
There are, and you call it focus options. We call it charism. It's a gift from God that enables this community to say, as we are, do hospital work. Our charism is healing ministry, and therefore, if we want to bring Christ's healing ministry to others, we're involved in the hospital ministry. And so people who are interested in the hospital or interested in the healing. It doesn't even have to be a hospital per se, but interested in the healing ministry of Christ could be drawn to us. Whereas the Dominicans are the order of preachers, people would be more interested in their order if they want to do teaching, say. Now that's making it very simple, Dan, and I don't mean to be simple because it wasn't simple for me to choose my order. I had to make God choose my order for me because there are many and it can be overwhelming. But the charism is what draws me to the hospital sisters.
That should help the listeners to understand.
Sure. Well, Sister Marguerite, we want to thank you for spending this half hour with us on the Cradle and the Convert this morning. I know you're really busy and I know you have an appointment to get to. We just enjoy sharing with you, and it did a great thing to have Catholic radio in this hospital. You know, we're sitting here in the Annunciation studio on the campus of St. Mary's Hospital, and the sisters, hospital sisters, have been so gracious to Catholic radio that we couldn't do this without you.
Well, thank you, Dan, and thank you, Dave. Amazing. We're all Cradle Catholics, and this is a privilege and a great opportunity to talk about vocations. And I love the vocation ministry, and it does need prayer and support by people like you and your listeners too. We can all pray for vocations to religious life. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Take care.
You're with Dave and Dan on the Cradle and the Convert. We're going to take a quick break and come back on the other side with a gospel preview, a little bit of community calendar. Wish everyone a blessed Palm Sunday coming up. And sister, have a happy Holy Week.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back to the Cradle and the Convert for Thursday, March 22nd. This Sunday coming up is going to be Palm Sunday. And Dan, you know what, Palm Sunday, the Mass is a little different because the Gospel is read during the entrance. And a lot of the churches have processions where we receive our palms and get them blessed, and then we process through the church as people did on Palm Sunday when Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem. To a hero's welcome.
And I always pray for nice weather because typically we all go outside.
Do you? We just do it in the church.
Well, I always like it. Go outside and hopefully it's not snowing. I remember days when it snowed outside.
And this is an early Easter. This is, I think, one of the earliest Easters you can have, April 1st, because it's the Passover, something to do with the new moon after the spring equinox or something, which was yesterday, I think, or Tuesday, whatever. Anyway, the Gospel is, this year is year B, and I believe it's the Gospel of Mark, isn't it, Dan?
Gospel of Mark.
Okay,
chapter
11,
verses 1 through 10. A reading from the Holy Gospel, according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus and his disciples drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately upon entering it, you will find a colt tethered on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone should say to you, 'Why are you doing this?' reply, 'The master has need of it, and will send it back here at once.' So they went off and found a colt tethered at a gate outside of the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They answered them, 'Just as Jesus had told them to do,' and they permitted them to do it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and put on their cloaks over it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. Those preceding him as well as those following kept crying out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is to come. Hosanna in the highest.'" A reading of the Holy Gospel. Praise to you, O Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Dan, to me it's amazing to think that on a Sunday, Jesus is welcomed into Jerusalem as king, conqueror, hero, the Messiah. People understood at that point that he was the Messiah. And less than a week later, he's betrayed. He's tortured, he's wrongly convicted, and crucified and murdered, basically. All in the course of 1 week, from hero, basically, to goat, so to speak.
And I always wonder, the he requested to ride in on that goat.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
donkey.
Dog. Be tough to ride a goat. I'm thinking of the Knights. Initiation. Knights of Columbus, they may not understand what I'm talking about. Anyway, but it's interesting how he chose a donkey. You know, normally the King of Kings would be glorious riding in a, who knows what they would, you know, horseback and carriage.
One of the prophets, Isaiah, or one of them, said that he would come in riding on an unblemished donkey colt. Yeah. So that was to fulfill a prophecy. Now, this week, we're talking this gospel, because we'll also hear the Passion this Sunday, but we're focusing a little bit on the Palm Sunday. And I'm glad, Dan, that I'm born in the day and age I'm born in. Can you imagine having been a Jew in the first century? to have lived at the time of Christ and to have had to make a decision about what you thought about this man. Now, whether you had seen the miracles that he'd performed, whether when he fed the thousands, or if you had seen him cure a blind man or heal a deaf person, that would have a huge impact on you. But probably most of the population of Jerusalem didn't personally one-on-one see Jesus perform a miracle or feed the masses. But you've heard these great stories about him, and you think, man, this could be the Messiah. This could be the guy.
Well, and they grew up, you know, learning the Old Testament,
right,
in the readings. And now this man comes along.
And he's fulfilling.
And he's fulfilling this and to, and there's others that have came after that are false prophets and whatnot. And so for them to truly understand who this man is and why he's here and to put their faith in him as our Savior is pretty awesome back then.
Well, and if you put yourself
even today, but back then, it would be very challenging, I would imagine.
If you put yourself in that time and place and use the prayer Lectio Divina, where you put yourself as one of the characters in that gospel, what would it have been like to have seen this man and known that in your heart maybe that he was the Savior, or listening to the authorities, the Jews and the Romans, saying he's a blasphemer, he's a liar, he's scamming you, he's not the Messiah. He's not the fulfillment of the gospel. So you're torn between what you've heard and maybe what you've seen or what the authorities, the government, and the religious authorities are telling you, no, this isn't the guy. It would have been an awful difficult position to be put in as your average citizen of Jerusalem or your average Israelite trying to figure out, you know, what's the truth? What's the truth? And what did Pilate say when he condemned Christ? He said, what is truth? I'm just so glad in this day and age we've had the resurrection and we've had great teachers and apologetics that have taught us about the gospel and have taught us scripture so that we are informed and didn't have to make up our own mind at that time during Holy Week which side of the map we fell on. It would have just been an awful place to be trying to make that decision. I'm just glad I wasn't there. I don't know if I'd have been one of the ones yelling, crucify him, or if I'd have been one of them, you know, waving the palms. And
that goes a lot to say about our first saints.
Oh, yeah, they put it all on the line, didn't they?
I mean, they put their lives. Actually, let's say 10 out of 12 of them put their lives on the line. They gave their life as martyrs for that faith, for this faith.
Well, and it'll be an amazing week. We'll talk next week a little bit about Holy Week. We'll be on, it'll be Thursday, the day we celebrate the Mass of the Lord's Supper, and we'll discuss that then. The Holy Week in and of itself is always such a great time to contemplate and to use that prayer, Lectio Divina. It means to take a role in what you're reading, not as a main character. You don't have to be Peter in the gospel. But maybe you can be the maid that sees Peter outside and watches this whole thing unfold, and you reflect on that, and you can smell the smell of the charcoal fire. You can feel the chill of the evening when Jesus is being taken off to the Sanhedrin. You can put yourself into this position, and you can see the gospel in a whole different light.
Well, and for the next, you know, 2 weeks or so, this is the time. This is our faith. This is the biggest feast. This is the biggest.
It
sums it all up right here, more so than Christmas. A lot of people think about our Christian faith and Catholicism and Christmas, but really it's Easter that defines us.
St. Paul said if Christ hadn't arisen from the dead, our entire faith was for naught and we were all idiots. Basically, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, then we're just all nuts. We just followed a crazy guy, and we know that's not true. So, anyway, that's our little take on what you'll hear about Palm Sunday. Be sure and read it in advance again, and listen to Father when he gives the homily this Saturday or this Sunday. There'll probably be a little Palm Sunday in there, and like I said, this will be a Sunday also where we will read the Passion, I believe, according to Mark, and then on Good Friday we always read the Passion according to St. John. Yeah. So. lots of stuff coming up this week. It's the last week in Lent, and we're getting ready to go into Holy Week. We pray that you've had a successful Lent, a good, fruitful, prayerful Lent, and we're going to continue with that until the beginning of the Triduum, which is Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. So, okay, Dan, that's about it for the gospel preview. Let's take a quick break and come back with some community calendar stuff. Talk about Father Simon when we come back on the other side. This is Dave and Dan on the Cradle and the Convert. We'll be back in a second.
Talk radio for the Catholic life. 88.9, 96.5 FM, WDCR.
Alrighty, welcome back to the Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade with Dan Walker here. We're going to talk a little bit about the community calendar. There's a lot of stuff coming up in the next week or so with Palm Sunday and Holy Week. So, Dan, tell me what you got over there.
Well, let's start with the first one, the Spirituality Series by Sister Anna Feary. Is that did I pronounce your last name?
Correct.
All right, so I got lucky there. This is Claiming Your Truth and Finding Common Ground. It is a series. In a society where division and polarizing ideals seem to dominate the media, coming together for common good seems to be a daunting task at any level. Sister Anna inspires us to hold fast to our core values, which is our truth, and challenges us to find areas to peacefully meet for the sake of individual and communal growth. Basically, common ground between others that might differ with us. Mm-hmm. Sister Anna Feary is a hospital sister of the Third Order of St. Francis. She has a master's degree in theology and a certificate in spiritual direction. She has directed retreats in Africa, Canada, the United States. Unbelievably talented, and like Sister Marguerite, who was here earlier, mm-hmm. It's unbelievable throughout the diocese the amount of talent that we have within our faith and how they transform lives. Yeah. And it's just wonderful. Here we have Sister Anna coming here to St. Mary's. It'll be held in the Assisi room here at St. Mary's Hospital. It's on Thursdays, April 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th. It's just for hour-long, 6 to 7 p.m., and it's free registration, and they do require you to, they ask to please register by April 2nd. And to register, you would contact Keely Fiore at 464-1308. That's the phone number here at St. Mary's, 464-1308, Keely Fiore.
Cool. Hey, Dan, have you heard the spots for the Holy Family Fish Fry with the kids doing the...
I have not. No, unfortunately.
They came in and did some spots for the Fish Fry at Holy Family, which will be again this Friday, March 23rd, from 4 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. At the Holy Family Parish. The cost is $10 for adults and $7 for high school kids, $5 for elementary school kids. And I like one of the kids on the spot says, and there's even hot dogs for the little ones.
Well, you know, obviously my parish has been Holy Family and raised my three kids all through the school.
Yep.
And I do have their fish fry to me is outstanding. For $10, number one on the salads,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they have potato salad, macaroni salad, the regular salad, the macaroni, and they have their own menus, and the volunteers, it's all volunteers, and we make it the same way year after year.
Well, that's what
year.
You want, yeah.
It's awesome. We have dessert afterwards. We got ice cream, plus you got all-you-can-eat fish. So it is one of the best fish fries in the area.
Yeah, and this weekend will be the last of the fish fries because the following Friday is Good Friday, a day of fasting and abstinence. So get your fish this Friday. The two of the parishes and the Knights of Columbus are having their fish fries. The Catholic Charities Beach Bash on Saturday, April 7th from 6:30 to 11 at the Knights of Columbus Hall. This is a big fundraiser for Catholic Charities, music by the Boat Drunks, which are a Jimmy Buffett tribute band, and food by Max Pigskin Diner. Tickets are $65 each. There's a cash bar. You have to be 21 or older to get in. Maybe you'd want to get a table of 10 for $600. Call Catholic Charities to reserve your tickets now at 428-3458. Catholic Charities, Catholic Charities Beach Bash on April 7th, 428-3458.
And then we also have an enrollment event for any families interested in sending their children to St. Teresa. So you don't have to be Catholic to attend St. Teresa. You don't even have to go to a Catholic elementary school. We encourage those to come and enroll. St. Teresa is hosting this event for families and students that are interested. The event is targeted for students and families of eighth graders or students interested in transferring to St. Teresa. If you need, St. Teresa will be hosting a campus visit on Tuesday, April 3rd from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. So students and families have the opportunity to learn more about St. Teresa academics and extracurricular activities, tour the school, and get a question-answer period. For more information, just contact St. Teresa High School at 875-2431. And I must say, they have the dual credit program, both junior and senior year. So if you want to save some money on college education, they do have dual credits where you're attending St. Teresa, but they're applied to college. Which
Yeah, Richland, right?
Richland.
Yeah.
And saves you a possible year of, so Richland, close relationship with them. And I must say that the boys just got back from Kairos last week.
Yeah.
And the girls the week before that. And for those who aren't familiar, to me, Kairos is worth every penny of a year of tuition. It's open to seniors. They go on a three-day retreat. And come back with their lives transformed. And that's one of the special things about St. Teresa High School is Kairos. Yeah. So for those of faith, it's worth every penny to send your kids to St. Teresa High School.
Amen. Hey, did you know, Dan, that during Lent, we are required as Catholics to make our at least once a year Eucharistic visit and receive Holy Communion? Now, if we're only receiving communion once a year during Lent, that probably means we need to go to confession before we can receive the Eucharist. You know, in order to receive the Eucharist, we have to be in a state of grace. And here's how you can get into that state of grace. There's a communal service reconciliation at St. Patrick's coming up Sunday this week at 2:30 p.m. There'll be the four or five local priests will be there hearing confessions and reconciliation at St. Pat's at 2:30. So if you have yet to make your Lenten obligation to receive the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, you need to get to confession, and one of the best ways to do it is one of these communal penance services. Don't get me wrong, a communal penance service doesn't mean you attend and then you get you get out of jail free card. You still have to go to one of the priests, and you can do it in face-to-face or you can do it behind the screen, however you want to do it. But get to reconciliation this week, so that you will be able to receive the Blessed Sacrament during Holy Week.
We have an annual Women's Council rummage sale coming up this Friday, April 13th, 8 to 5 p.m., Saturday, April 14th, 8 to 2 p.m. You can drop items off at the parish hall. And I'm thinking this is at Our Lady of the Holy Spirit in Mount Zion, the Women's Council rummage sale. You need more information, I would just call the parish. You can call Kathy Lott, Ryan Lott, Vicki Wooten. They were on our guests last week.
Yeah.
And they do a great job with their the monies that they raised to many different charitable.
Yeah. One final thing here, Dan, I want to talk about. Next week on the show, we're going to be talking to Father Richard T. Simon of Father Simon Says.
That ought to be awesome.
And he's going to be, the host of our seventh annual dinner in Mount Zion on April 12th, 2018. If you haven't got your tickets yet, you can call in here to the station and reserve your ticket. You can call 464-1099. 464-1099 to reserve your tickets for the seventh annual dinner with Father Simon. I'm going to have Father Simon on the phone next week, and we're going to discuss a little bit about what his message is going to be to us. And I'm going to have my own Father Simon Says, because I've got a question that I want to ask him. And we're going to give you, the listeners, an opportunity maybe to ask Father Simon a question, or at least submit one during the dinner that I'll read to Father Simon, and he can answer it just like he does on his show. So Thursday, April 12th in Mount Zion, doors open at 5:30. Tickets are $50 apiece. Tune in next week to hear us talk to Father Simon. And also at that dinner, we'll be honoring our 2018 St. Gabriel Hope Award nominees or honorees. Our Lady of Lourdes has put forth Mary Ann Fawcett as their honoree. St. Thomas has put forth Jim and Mary Hammond. St. James and Patrick, Mr. Jim Grunlow, Holy Family, Diane Keller, and Our Lady of the Holy Spirit, Steve Bowman. So all of those people do great work in their parishes and have been recognized by their parish priest as the 2018 St. Gabriel Hope Award winners. All right, we're about out of time, buddy. We got to go. We got to say a prayer. We need to say a prayer.
You know what I want to say, but I don't have it memorized. I don't know. The prayer for vocations. I think it'd be appropriate for this.
Okay.
I
think I might have. Okay, so let's begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. O God, Father of all mercies,
provider of a bountiful harvest, send your graces upon those you have called to gather the fruits of your labor. Preserve and strengthen them in their lifelong service of you. Open the hearts of your children that they may discern your holy will. Inspire in them a love and desire to surrender themselves to serving others in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Teach all your faithful to follow their respective paths in life guided by your divine word and truth. Through the intercession of the our most blessed Mary,
Virgin Mary, and all the angels and saints,
humbly hear our prayers and grant your church's needs through Christ our Lord.
Amen. 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 Prayer for vocations. Dan, thanks for being with me this morning. We had a good talk with Sister about vocations, and have a happy, blessed weekend, and we'll talk to you next week when we have Father Simon.
Sounds great. God bless. Everybody have a great week.
Bye-bye.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.